Heavenly Father, we thank you that we know that you, our Redeemer, lives. We thank you that he is alive in us. And we ask now that as we come to listen to the words of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, that you will speak to us, help us to understand and obey what you say to us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
When I started preparing my sermon a few weeks ago, the TUC conference was being held, and many of the largest trade unions said that they will be conducting contacting their members with a proposal that they go on strike in the coming months. The reasons are largely because of changes in their pensions. They say that this will mean that they will have to pay in more, they will have to work more years before they can get it, and so they will be seriously worse off as a result of these changes. I wonder what these trades unions would have made out of the attitude of the landowner in the parable which we have just had read to us. So please then turn to Matthew chapter 20 on page 987. Page 987, chapter 20. Just two small points to remember as we look at this parable. First of all, it's set in Palestine in the first century. They use the 24-hour clock, with the first hour of the day being 6 a.m. And also that the working day there lasted for 12 hours, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So now we can look at the first part of the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Let's look at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He was obviously a wealthy man. He had an estate and a vineyard, so he needs many workers. As we know from verse 8, he had a foreman to whom he would have given authority over the estate and over the workers. Yet he is so interested in his estate that you notice he went out early in the morning, the very first hour of the working day. So there he is, 6 o'clock in the morning, at the place where the unemployed gather together. In our terminology, he went to the job centre to see if he could hire some casual labourers. But I guess you wouldn't go to the job centre here at 6 o'clock in the morning. So verse 2, he agreed with them a denarius for a day, and he sent them into his vineyard. Now obviously this was a mutual agreement between the landowner and the prospective employees. Both the landowner and the labourers said the denarius would be a fair wage for one day's work. To help me to understand perhaps the meaning of this a bit better, I popped the words minimum wage for adult in the UK into Google, which came up and gave me the information that this minimum wage will be going up as from October the 1st, 2011, to £6.09 per hour. This means for a 12-hour day from next Saturday, these labourers would have been paid £73.08 per day. So now verse 3, we find that the landowner needs some more labourers. Verse 3, so about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. This time you notice he doesn't draw up an agreement with them about what they would get for a full day's work. But they must have trusted him that he was a fair employer and a person would pay them what was right for the 9 hours left for them to work that day. For verse 5 tells us, so they went. And no doubt what he was going to pay them would be based on the denarius for the whole day, which he had agreed for the others. Still, the landowner needs more workers. So, verse 5, he went out again at the sixth hour, that's 12 noon, and the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he did the same things. They were confident that he's a fair employer who would pay them what would be right for the number of hours they'd worked based on the earlier agreements. So now we move down to verse 6. About the 11th hour, that's 5 p.m., he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered him. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. As they really couldn't have done much work in just the hour left at the end of the day, I rather get the feeling that the landowner was employing them out of compassion for them because they hadn't got any work. So now, let's have a little chart coming up to see what's happened so far in our story. See, we've got group A. They started work at 6 a.m. They're working for 12 hours. And I'm giving that 100 for the denarius. Then group B, they started at 9 a.m., they worked for 9 hours, and they were going to get 75% of a denarius. The third group, C, started at 12 a.m., noon, worked for 6 hours, and they expected to receive 50% of a denarius. The fourth group, 3 in the afternoon, just worked 3 hours, they expect to get 25%. And the fifth group hired at 5 p.m. would get approximately 10% of the denarius. This then brings us to the end of the first part of this parable of the workers in the vineyard. Now with Matthew chapter 28 to 15, we come to the second part of the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Matthew 20, verse 8. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, call workers and pay them their wages. That would be the normal practice for workers who had been taken on for casual labour. In fact, Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 to 15 says this. Do not take advantage of a hired man. Pay him his wages each day before sunset, because he is poor and is counting on it. Otherwise he may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. The usual way of doing this would have been to choose people who work for the longest would be given their wages first. After all, they had borne the work and heat of the day longer than the others, So as a reward, they were paid first of all so that they could get home quickly and have a rest. But not with this landowner. For his instructions to his foreman in verse 8 actually reads like this. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." So now, to find the order in which they were paid, we need to set our chart upside down. The ones who'd only been working at 5 p.m. would have got a 10%. At 3 p.m., they would have got 25%. At 12 noon, they would have got 50%. At 9 a.m., they'd worked 9 hours, they were going to get 75%. And of course, those who started at 6 a.m. would get the full amount. Yet now, we read the owner has yet another surprise for us. Look now at verse 9. "The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius." They only worked for 1 hour and yet they received the full amount. They must have been astonished and very, very glad. They accepted it with great joy. It's been suggested that perhaps they ran home in case the landowner decided he wanted to change his mind. But not only that, just see what also happened. Each of them, verse 10, also received a denarius. Like this. Those who'd only worked 1 hour received a full denarius. Those who'd worked 3 hours, the full amount. Those who'd worked 6 hours, the full denarius. Those who worked 9 hours, the full denarius. And of course, those who worked 12 hours, the full amount. Each of the workers, whether he worked for a long or a short time, received the same, one denarius. Now let's continue looking at our Bible, verses 11 to 15. Forgetting that they had agreed with the landowner that a denarius was a fair and just rate, those who had been hired first and had worked for 12 hours began to object. Look at verse 11. "When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.'" The landowner now justifies his action. First of all, by reminding them of the terms both he and the workers had agreed at 6 o'clock that morning. "Friend," he says, verse 13, "I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for denarius?" Secondly, he gives his reason for his action. Verse 14, "Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired the same as I gave you." Thirdly, he reminds them of the fact that it was his money that he was choosing to use as he wished. Verse 15, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money?" And in his final word, was to accuse him of being a mean and envious spirit. Verse 16, "Or are you envious because I am generous?" So ends the parable of the workers in the vineyard. But having a story, having told the story, Jesus then adds his final comment, chapter 20, verse 16. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now, if you just jump, look at the left-hand column on page 987, you can see that something very similar is there in verse chapter 19, verse 30. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And because, you see, these are virtually the same statement, we can see that Jesus is stressing the importance of these words. To understand these comments in chapter 19, verse 30, and chapter 20, verse 16, we've got to remember that this is called the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Parables are often called earthly stories with heavenly meanings. They're not here in the Bible just to give us a good story, but so that we can use that story to explain heavenly spiritual truths. What then are the heavenly spiritual truths which Jesus is teaching us here in the parable of the workers in the vineyard? There's a clue to this in the very first verse of our reading, chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. Jesus gives us this parable so that we can know what the kingdom of heaven is like and what that means for us. And so let me end by suggesting three things which the parable can teach us today. Firstly, I suggest it teaches us that we have a sovereign God. A God who is in control of us and all that happens. He can make the first last and the last first. He can do as he likes with what is his. So he can give all of the workers a denarius, however short a time they have worked. He turns upside down the normal way of treating people. A sovereign God cannot be confined to any box or any category which we human beings may have. For he is the sovereign God. Secondly, I think it helps us to understand that we have a generous God. You see how Jesus offers a full place and full reward even to the latecomer. I wonder, have you realized how generous God is? Whoever you are, whatever you've done, however old you are, however much you have neglected God in the past, come now and put your faith in Jesus as your Saviour and Lord. And he will accept you, and you will have life with him now and life forever. For he is a generous God. Finally, I think it helps us to know that we have an encouraging God. Are those of us in church this morning who have been Christians for quite a long time sometimes got a bit boastful that we have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. And now others who've only recently begun witnessing to Jesus are being treated as generously as we were treated. You see, this parable warns us that it's possible for us to become the last. And so it encourages us to make sure that we are still going on with the Lord, that we are still reading the Bible every day and obeying what it says. To make sure, yes, that we do go to church regularly. And we are sharing with others in fellowship groups. For beware that unless we still go on doing this, it's possible for us to slip away. It's possible for us who are the first to become last. Just a few moments of quiet as we think about this passage of Scripture. Lord, we thank you for these words of Jesus. Help us to realize that you are a sovereign God, that you are a generous God, and that you are a God who's encouraging us to go on deeper with you day by day. Amen.